Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Well, let's get her done. Welcome to my house. You know, every once in a while when we hit a topic, we can't answer the questions fast enough. And right now, we're suffering appliance hangover. Man, Hussar, Honest Appliance Sales Service and Repair, was in the last hour talking about kitchen appliances, primarily, and laundry appliances. And we've got a lot of questions stacking up that we're going to get to through the course of this next hour. So if you got in and couldn't get your answer question live on air, we'll get to it here this hour and get you caught up. And we're here this hour, my son Romy, co-host of the show, of course, kind of a new member of the team, our baby daughter, Carol Grace. She's kind of in there watching the text and getting all the social networking messages out. Of course, my wife, sweet Jennifer, is call screening. You can join the conversation by dialing us at 1-888-767-4348. And of course, Mr. Gary D., our broadcast engineer. Before we get into the topics, I have to share with y'all a survey that hit me like a 2x4 across the front of my head this week. It's a survey that was compiled in collaboration with a lot of different people. I like that. It's not just one source claiming something. It was the COVID-19 Economic Impact Tracker. It was Fredonia. It was Bank of America poll of over 1,000 American homeowners. Lightstream survey, Home Improvement Research Institute, and Realtor.com with Qualified Remodeling Magazine.
That's a lot of different sources.
They put all these people in a round table with survey results they had taken from American homeowners coast to coast. And here's some of the things they're seeing in this interesting year. And I'm going to call it an interesting year. I'm going to quit calling it a challenging year. It's an interesting year. The desire to renovate is spiking to historical heights. 70 to 75% of homeowners are planning to complete a remodel on their home in the next 6 months. 70 to 75%.
As much as construction's been going, I wouldn't think there was that big of a percent left to have a renovation.
I know. You would think they'd already gotten it done by now. Wow.
I think there'd only be like 30% left of the homes that needed a renovation.
And do you remember just 5-6 years ago, everybody was saying millennials may never buy a home. They may just rent for their, or live with mom and dad the rest of their life.
Or not necessarily a home, but like sky condos or apartment livings.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, a lot of those types are going in downtown areas, you know, forever apartment type.
Absolutely.
Settings.
Well, these millennials that we were told wouldn't be buying homes are now spending more to improve their homes than any other age group. And it primarily is they will typically buy an older home. So millennials are a big part of driving this. And the interesting thing about millennials is they call you and they ask you to come look at their property for a kitchen remodel. And you look at it and you tell them, well, I think this kitchen's going to be between $30,000 and $50,000, appliances, floor covering, lighting, cabinets, countertops. We're going to be right in that range. And they'll look at you and say, well, when can you start? Now, if I give that number to a baby boomer, they look at you, and then after they pick themselves up off the floor, they say, I only spent $35,000 on this house.
In 1958.
Man, oh, man. But here's the biggest trend of all, porching. People are moving to front porch environments all across the nation. I think that's spectacular. I think that's absolutely awesome.
That would be a great improvement for the Phoenix area.
And you know what I'm seeing more of at homes, whether they're people that own them or even if they're flipped or whatnot?
Yeah.
Adirondack chairs in the front yard.
Yes.
There's one or two with a little pillow. It's kind of an inviting look, but there you go. That's kind of starting the trend.
Well, that's...
You know,
That's all results of surveys they've pulled from thousands of homeowners all across the country. Very interesting.
Phil Gordon, City of Phoenix mayor, from
prior mayor,
back in the day, he had tried to start something like that.
Yeah, he did.
And installing front porches on homes, and it's a proven case. It brings crime down and builds community stronger because you actually get out there and get to know
each
other.
Put eyes out there on the street instead of hibernating.
In your house or, you know, in your basement or whatever. Well, I was going to say another trend I pulled out of the mansion section of the Wall Street Journal is actually starts focusing on a home in Gilbert, Arizona, on new walk-in pantries and luxury pantries and how big that trend is becoming in new homes. Over 85% of homes that are over 3,500 square feet are being built with a walk-in pantry now.
No matter what size home you have, it is a wonderful thing to have. And after working with Bridges, Get Organized with Bridges, once you do it, you'll never go back. Having your space, especially your pantry, organized in such a way that it's, you know, what's in there. And still to this day, as grandparents, our children, our grandchildren, son-in-laws, what is the first thing they do when they come in our house?
They go stand in the pantry.
Stand in the pantry.
Now, if we could just teach them, I don't mind them going in there. And I don't
mind something to put in.
I don't mind them window shopping and standing there. But if they would just put things back where they took it from. I go in there, I spend 20 minutes. I was just here yesterday. It was right here in this spot.
Well, if you look at the organization of some of these luxury, not even luxury, I mean, that's just a lot of shelves and a lot of baskets.
Love it.
They have a lot of glass and plastic that they then put the food into, so you don't have to look in the box to see if you need a refill. You can do a visual inspection of moving your food products into containers and look at it. And they, do you know where the word pantry comes from?
I do not.
It's a French variation from the Latin word for bread.
Okay.
In the
I'll accept that.
18th and 19th century, elaborately carved wooden boxes for storing bread was considered a status symbol.
A status symbol.
So your pantry status symbol.
Sounds like pain perdu, which is French toast.
French toast. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348.
Your mic's not on. We're bringing in another member of the guest from the Wedge.
Bringing in Miss Carol.
Try it again, Carol. No, you had to write.
Okay. We'll try her again in a little bit. You can also
text to the caller
411-923 or send an email to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Bart's on the line. Wants to talk about termites. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning. I have an old 1950s house, 900 square feet, and I've got termites along the sill. My question is what to do after I get it rebuilt. I'm experienced enough in carpentry to rebuild it, but here's the problem. It's standard wooden construction, 2x6 floor joists and 2x4 walls, but it's built over a crawl space, which is problem number one.
Okay.
So the finished floor is level with the outside. That puts the floor, the crawl space, which is 1 feet to 2 feet deep, below ground level.
Yeah.
On the outside, I've removed the inside wood tongue and groove.
Okay.
The outside is covered with first half inch of homosote, then a layer of black roofing paper, then 1x12 boards vertical. Then they built up a layer of furnace bricks and mortar as a brick facing. Those are set on edge. And for that reason, I'm working from the inside of the house.
Okay.
I cut off the bottom 30 inches of the studs.
Well, Bart, hang on 1 second. I believe you do, from the sound of it, have all the carpenter experience you need to replace the carpentry. Now we've got to deal with the termites because they'll be back. With your wood that close to grade, that's conditions conducive for termite infestation. And the only thing I'd be able to tell you is if that were my home, I'd get a termite company out to the property that dealt with a brand called Termidor. Termidor treating in, about, and around your crawl space and your outside stem wall actually kills the termite colony. It doesn't just discourage them and have them go away. It actually kills the queen, which kills the colony. And I think if you've got that much wood that close to grade, a good aggressive treatment of Termidor. You have to be Termidor licensed to use it as it relates to in, about, and around trees and other vegetation and gardens and things like that. But the best thing I could tell you is get a hold of a termite company that can administer Termidor, and your problems are probably going to be about 90% fixed after you finish all the carpentry repairs.
And the active ingredient in Termidor escapes me at the moment, but there's another product called Premise that has it as well. And there's a new product on the market called Fuse that blends Termidor and Premise together. Each one has slightly different characteristics. They liked the Termidor better because Premise had a tendency to wash away, but Premise also had qualities that Termidor didn't. So they're actually mixing them together, and it's called Fuse. And we've, a couple of our termite contractors have had good success with that as well. So it has the active ingredient and part of Termidor in it. But a lot of the guys are moving to Fuse. It seems the industry trend. So if you get a proposal with that as well, that's okay. You've heard us talk about Termidor and only Termidor for the last 20 years. Well, Termidor Advanced, I guess, is what you would call it now. Fuse seems to be where the industry is going.